In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So here we are. We're beginning this third part of Luisa and the dispositions that are needed to live in the divine will. This is one of the things that it's very, very clear that our God is asking us to understand that this disposition is not what we think. It's the Lord's disposition for us. It's not our disposition, but we got to make our disposition His disposition. His disposition, our disposition. That's a tough one to say. So there's a lot that's happening at this point, and our Lord is really asking us to really begin to live this abundant life. And how great our God is that He would give us this time when everything seems to be falling apart to get ready for the kingdom, because the kingdom is coming. The whole reason for the Book of Heaven is to get us ready for what's coming. And He knows that we panic. He knows that we're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, and doubting. And so he gives us the Book of Heaven. And, you know, we have the Book of Life in heaven, and God has given us the Book of Heaven on earth. And as we read it, as we study it, we really begin to understand how God wants us to live in these last times. And it's not a time for worry or fear or for anxious being complaining or negative, but really a time of peace, joy, and happiness. So Luisa and the disposition needed to live in the divine will, part three. This is volume 21, 26, 1927. With the divine will's veils of light, the divine will follows the steps of man. The divine will invests our humanity's actions, whatever path that the soul may take. The divine will light makes itself found in front of the soul, behind the soul, carrying the soul as though in triumph within its womb of light, in order to do good to him, to dispose him, the soul, to do good. And God does good to the soul, and the soul, and God gives the soul light, even if the soul doesn't want it. And no one can deny, when we get to heaven, no one's going to deny that God was not with us. A lot of the times we deny God. A lot of the times we turn away from God, and we look at our own lives. How many situations have we fallen into that we really didn't have to if we were following God? And Jesus shows us we can do it the easy way or the hard way. The easy way is in God's mercy. The difficult way is with God's divine justice. And he doesn't want to lose us. So he puts us through situations to wake us up. And the situation that we're going through now worldwide, the Lord is trying to make sure that we really, really wake up because the kingdom is coming. He doesn't want to lose us. He doesn't want us to be destroyed. So Jesus says, "Oh, will of mind, how invincible, how lovable, how admirable you are, immutable and good, untiring, without ever drawing back." And he says he says, see the difference between the exposition of the Holy Eucharist, that which my Holy Divine will itself makes in a continuous act in created things. So he's saying, I want you to see one of the things that the Lord shows is he says, I want you to be a perpetual adorer of the Most Holy Trinity. So we learn how to start this adoration in front of the Blessed Sacrament. When we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, adoring him, loving him, praising him, thanking him, blessing him, worshiping him, it begins to help us understand that there's more that God wants. So he says there's a great difference between the exposition of the Holy Eucharist, that which Jesus, my will itself makes in a continuous act in all created things. So now he's saying, I want you to enter into the exposition of the divine will. This is something that is going to astonish most people because we've been blind to the exposition of the continuous act of the fiat in all created things. So he says, in that of the Eucharist, humanity must put himself out. He has to go himself. He has to draw near the Holy Eucharist. He has to go to the church, spend near time with the Eucharist, disposing himself to receive the good. Otherwise, he really receives nothing. So the souls that spend their time in Eucharistic adoration, and each of us should be doing that. This is, you fall in love with God by being with God. And when we're at the exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, we see God. We see him. And he says, what we are now children of God, what we will become, we do not know. But when we do see him, we will become like him. That's the likeness of God. Right now through holy baptism, we're in the image of God. So Jesus is asking us to spend time with him in front of the Blessed Sacrament to receive this love of God, to recognize this love of God. He says, on the other hand, in the exposition of my divine will in all created things, he says, it is my divine will that goes to man. So we go to the Eucharist, you know, to spend time with our Eucharistic Lord for 1 hour, maybe a day, where Jesus says, in all of creation, I'm coming to man in the next 24 hours, or excuse me, 23 hours of the 24-hour day. My divine will goes to man. My divine will puts itself out. Even if the humanity is not disposed, my divine will gives an abundance. My divine will drowns him with all the goods of creation, all the goods of redemption. So what Jesus is showing us is that, he says to Louisa, he says, does anyone go outside and in front of the sun, genuflect and say, thank you, Jesus, for the sun. Thank you for the fiat in giving me this warmth, this heat, this light. He says, does anybody go out and recognize the love of God in the raining of the sun in the sky, or the love of God in the ocean, or the love of God when it's snowing or when it's raining? Most of us complain, oh, it's too hot, it's too cold. You know, when is spring coming? You know, Jesus says, enjoy the I love yous of all creation. Every snowflake is an I love you. Every drop of water is an I love you. Every blade of grass is an I love you. Every grain of sand is an I love you. Every leaf on a tree is an I love you. And he says, I want you to, this is what Adam did. He says, Adam saw creation and fell in love with God. You are so good. You are so holy. You are so perfect. You are so loving that you would give me this creation. And when Adam fell, he was blind to that I love you of God all around us. So Jesus said to Louisa in volume 36, he says, I want your senses to be for God, not just a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, not just he's my Lord, my Savior. Yes. But more than that, he says, I want to become your spouse. I want to share, as the priest puts the drop of water into the chalice, I want to share. I want you to share in the divinity of Christ. This prayer is being answered because of this great gift of the divine will. So we have a prayer. We'll get this out later, a command prayer of becoming a perpetual adorer of the most holy divine will. He says, I want you to be disposed. I want you to begin to receive in abundance. I want to drown my humanity with all my love, all the I love yous in creation, all the I love yous of redemption of the life of Jesus and Mary. So in volume 21, 313, 1927, even though my divine will extends everywhere and holds its empire over everything, yet if the soul loves the divine will makes itself all love, and the divine will gives its love. So if the soul wants the divine will as life, the divine will forms its divine life in the soul. If the soul wants to let the divine will reign, the divine will forms its kingdom in the soul. The divine will carries out its acts according to the disposition of humanity. Well, so what is our disposition? Is it to fall in love with God? Is it to begin to embrace God? Is it to be one with God, fused with God in his holy divine will? Is it to become that drop of water that the priest puts in the chalice filled with wine to share in the divinity of Christ? This is what God is waiting for. This is why he gave us Louisa and the Book of Heaven. See, the divine will possesses the regenerative virtue. That word regenerative is symbolic, really, of what God is going to do. He's going to regenerate us. The humanity, the fallen humanity that was been redeemed by Jesus Christ and Our Lady with Jesus on Calvary, this redemption that has been given to humanity by Jesus brings about this regeneration, a regenerative virtue to go back to where Adam was before the fall. So it regenerates divine life. It regenerates divine sanctity. It regenerates divine peace. It regenerates divine reconciliation. It regenerates divine happiness. It regenerates divine light, divine beauty, divine grace. This life in the divine will, this great gift of the divine will, knows how to do everything because the divine will is God. He breathes this Ruah of God, this breath of God into the dust. What came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. The divine will knows how to do everything because it's the Lord that's doing it. It gives itself to everyone. It extends everywhere. And even in the acts are innumerable, they multiply into infinity. To each soul, the divine will gives a new act according to their dispositions, according to the variety that they give to the Lord, which is unreachable. So when you're reading the Book of Heaven, and I'm reading the Book of Heaven, you're going to see things that I can't see. You're gonna embrace things that, I mean, it's each one of us is different. We're unique in the eyes of God. You have different irises, different fingerprints, different voices, different sizes, and this is good. We're not to be clones of each other. We're to let the Lord reign in us, and He says, "What I want my children to become is my own divine masterpiece for God." He's going to do this. I mean, that's what this is. Divine life, divine sanctity, divine peace, divine reconciliation, divine light, divine beauty, divine grace, divine happiness. This is what God is going to breathe in us if we have the right disposition. So what is the right disposition? It's the life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done, Heavenly Father. Our Lady says, how can I become the mother of God? I've already made a life of virginity. I promised a vow of virginity. I'm not going to know man. How can I become the mother of God? Show me what I have to do to help God accomplish what he has plans for me. That's Our Lady's prayer. And the angel said, it will be through the power of the Holy Spirit. And she said, fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say. Total surrender, total docility, total submission. Three words that are hated today. It's letting God be God. And so this is what God is looking for. The divine will wants to give back to humanity the regenerative life of God, image and likeness. So through holy baptism, we are in God's image. And now with this great gift of the divine will, God wants to bring us back to the divine likeness of God. So he says the variety is unreachable. He says, volume 21, 3, 16, 19, 27. Here then is the necessity of the knowledges, the truths, the lessons, the promises, the prodigies, he says, of the wonders of my divine fiat. He says, as you read, you're learning from Jesus Christ himself. You know, we've always thought, what would have been like to be with Jesus, you know, 2000 years ago, just with him, listening to him, explaining to us the beauties of heaven, the beauties of earth. explaining to us why he created humanity. Well, that's what we have now. The book of heaven is what Jesus is, says. I did not teach this to the apostles. The apostles had to learn how to do the will of God. Now he says, I want to teach you how to live in the will of God as I did, as my mother did, the new Adam and the new Eve. This is what they gave to Louisa. This is not just another book. It's not a devotional life. What did he say to St. Faustina? The final devotion I give to my church before I return, the final devotion is divine mercy. That's why we pray the 3 o'clock hour. We pray it in the divine will. Jesus says, this is it. Now we enter into the new and divine way of holiness that Pope St. John Paul II prophesied about. So here is the necessity of the knowledges, these lessons that Jesus has given, the wonders of my divine fiat. It's to dispose the soul, to attract the soul, to desire, to want, to long for this kingdom. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. To long for the goods that are in the kingdom, in this great gift of the divine will, as well as the necessity that I first chose one creature, Louisa, who by living in my divine will, with her universal acts, that my will, divine will itself administers to Louisa, that are the divine acts, may impetrate the kingdom, bring back the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, that my fiat will be for all of humanity again. Our Lady already lived it. She lived in the fiat. She's Theotokos, Mother of God. Jesus lived in it. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Who is this newborn Louisa that Jesus tells us about, who was born of original sin? How can she possess this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary? Because this is what Jesus says. First, I chose one soul, Louisa Picaretta. And by living in my divine will, with her universal acts, one with Jesus, one with Mary, that my divine will administered itself, it's administered itself to her, our divine acts. Why? Jesus is doing that in her. Mary, she's Jesus, breathe in my breathing. God takes us at our word. And he says, okay, get out of the way. I'll start breathing in your breathing. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. Jesus takes us at our prayer. Okay, get out of my way. Let me beat in your heart beating. Jesus, gaze in my gazing, speak in my speaking, dance in my dancing, sing in my singing. It's not a personal relationship with Jesus. It's way beyond that. That's why we wear the wedding ring. Jesus has asked us. He has proposed to us. And he now is waiting for our fiat, our yes. Why? So that when he comes back, he takes us with him to be with him always. That's why he calls heaven the wedding feast. This is a great time to be alive. So what we're doing is we're echoing what Jesus and Mary taught Louisa. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So when the kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven, the devil who's been banished from heaven will be banished from earth. You have to understand, this is a glorious time to be alive. Everything seems to be falling apart. Good. The kingdom is coming. God is getting everything ready for what he has planned. So Jesus says, I, God, act like a king whose people have been rebellious against the laws. And he chooses one of his most faithful ministers. And opening up his sorrowful heart, he says to him, I want to trust you, Louisa. Listen. See, that's what we do when we read the book of heaven. We're listening to Jesus. And he says, the king says, I have decided to give you, Louisa, the mandate to call back to me all the poor exiled souls, to release the prisoners, to give back the right to possess the goods that I removed from them. So God removed from Adam this great gift of the divine will because Adam said, I want to live in my own human will. What is your human will? It's when you go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. I want to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid the near occasions of sin. God goes, good. I want to release you from the prison that you're in. See, Jesus, Jesus redeemed us. Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ on Calvary. She was with him on Calvary. And God at that point gave back to humanity. He took our place. He redeemed us so that we can now enter this time of sanctification. He gave back the right to possess the goods that were removed from us because of Adam's fall. And then he says, if these souls are faithful to me, this is why it's important to be a faithful and obedient Catholic, I shall redouble their goods of their happiness. It's not just we go back to where Adam was. We go back, right, redouble. It's the life of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, redoubled our goods, our happiness. And after having arranged everything in secret, and this is what's been happening for the last 2,000 years, they call the other ministers, giving them the orders to let the beautiful news reach the peoples. So now this is what Jesus says. I've given this gift to you, Louisa, so that you will give it to the priests, giving them the order to let this beautiful news reach the people. The divine will is going to be preached from every pulpit. Every bishop, every priest, every deacon is going to be proclaiming this beautiful news. The prisons are going to be opened. Slavery that the devil has put us into is going to be gone. The exile, we're going to come back to where God wants, how the king wants to make peace with all the children, how the king wants each one to return back to his royal palace, to God's place, and all the goods that the king wants to give them. And as the beautiful news spreads, the children desire, the children long for, the children dispose themselves with their acts to receive their freedom and the kingdom that had been lost. Do you see what's coming? The kingdom is coming. The fulfillment of the Our Father is close at hand. Everything has to be changed. So that's why God is saying to everyone, what do you want to do? He said to Louisa, if you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative, if you're doubting, he says you're anticipating hell. Is that the life you're living? Are you worried about anything? Are you fearful? Are you complaining? Are you negative? Jesus says, I don't want you to live like that. He says to Louisa, if you're peaceful, joyful, and happy, he says, you're anticipating heaven. Why? That's heaven. Heaven is peaceful, joyful, and happiness. So Jesus is saying, yes, it's tough out there. Yes, this is the birth pains that the church is going through. It's more frequent and more intense as these pains get closer and closer to what? The kingdom being established. So Jesus is saying very, very clearly, I want you to have this news of the divine will so that you will long for it. You will desire, you will dispose yourself with your acts. And so he teaches us how to do our acts and our rounds in the divine will. The round of creation is what we talked about earlier, to enter into this adoration of all created things. We see the love of God in, like a lot of people see it in the sunset. Wow, this is so beautiful. Or our sunrise. Oh, this is so beautiful. We've got to open our eyes and see the I love you all around us, to dispose ourselves, to give our acts of love, to do our rounds in creation and redemption, so we can receive our freedom and the kingdom that had been lost for so long. Now, yes, Jesus redeemed us 2,000 years ago. Now's the time for sanctification, this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming. And while the news is spreading, the faithful minister is always after the king. Okay, so here's Louisa saying to the king, beseeching the king with incessant pleas to let the people receive the good established between Louisa and Jesus and Mary. See, Louisa is the newborn. Louisa is the firstborn. And Louisa is not going to stop beseeching God, praying to God with incessant praise. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. And Jesus is so excited about this that he's giving us. He's saying, I'll give you what I gave to Louisa if you wish. She's the one who possesses this. but now it could be given to all humanity. I know Franciscans want to follow Francis and dress like Francis and follow his rules, pray his prayers, and that's to be a saint, a good, holy, saintly life. That's volume 1 through volume 10. Jesus is teaching us how to enter into volume 11 through volume 19. Yes, we have to become a saint, but now to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit, this great outpouring, the second Pentecost that's coming. Why? So that we can get to volume 20 through volume 36 to receive the divine inheritance of the Father, to go back to where Adam was before the fall. Volume 21, 4:14, 1927. Luisa, my daughter, if you want to know all the evils the human will has done, study my life well. Number my pains one by one, and you shall read the black characters of the noxious story of the human will. You read it very clearly. What Jesus went through, all his sufferings, what humanity did. You shall feel such horror in reading it that you shall be content with dying rather than letting one single syllable of it enter into you. We don't want anything that's of human misery anymore. We want the divine life of Jesus. We want the divine life of Mary. After this, Jesus kept silent, and I remained all taciturn and pensive and afflicted. And Jesus looked around far away as if he wanted to investigate the dispositions of humanity. And not seeing them disposed, Jesus remained in his profound silence. So I had to go through several days of privation. And if he were no longer living, as if he were no longer living in me. And then I began to feel him more move in my interior like rising sun. And Jesus said to me, Luisa, my daughter, whenever I speak, a life comes out of me, the greatest gift. His word is life. It's a new life, a divine life that comes out of Jesus. Remember when he said, fiat lux, let there be light, the universe began. When Our Lady said, fiat mihi, the incarnation, God became man. And now this new era with the fiat voluntas tua, he says, when I speak, life comes out of me, the greatest gift. And he says, and I as God must see whether there is the disposition on the part of humanity so as to place this life of mine in them. And if I don't see it, he says, I am forced to remain silent. We don't want God silent. We don't want the word of God silent. Because there is no place, he says, if they're not disposed, in which to put this great gift, this new life that comes out of Jesus. This is the reason why many times I do not speak. In fact, what regards my divine fiat is not only for you, Luisa, but it shall serve other souls who are interested. At the most, it forms its capital in you, Luisa, in order to transmit it for the good of others. So while I keep silent, Luisa, you pray that the kingdom of my divine will be known. So this, he's saying this to Luisa, and he's saying it to us. We must pray that the kingdom be of a God, divine will be known on earth as it is in heaven. And you suffer because you see yourself without me, without your life. And this is why we go to the Eucharistic adoration. We're suffering without Jesus. We don't see him. It's good to be with him. It's good to look at him, falling in love with our Eucharistic Lord. And so he says, to live without life is the greatest martyrdom. These pains, these prayers mature the gift. And while they make me open my mouth to issue the new life that regards my divine will, these words dispose souls to receive this new life. As you read, Jesus is speaking to you. As you read, he is disposing you to receive this new and divine way of holiness that Pope St. John Paul II prophesied about. Volume 21, 4:30, 1927. My daughter, both of us must have patience and think about the work of the foundation of the kingdom of the divine will. No one knows what we are doing, the sacrifice that it takes, the continuous acts that it takes, the prayers that are needed to form and obtain this good that's so great, the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. No one takes part in our sufferings, Jesus says to Louisa. No one helps us to form this kingdom that shall bring them so much good. And while the souls pay no attention to us, they think about enjoying their miserable life without even disposing themselves to receive the good we are preparing. Now think about that. What is God? He's preparing for us this new and divine way of holiness. And people are, let's think of Sunday. It's not the Lord's Day anymore. It's another Saturday for most people. They're enjoying their miserable life, watching pigskin being thrown from one end of the field to the other, without disposing themselves to receive the kingdom of God, which is coming on earth as it is in heaven. Did you know that the majority of sports began after Louisa was born? The devil said, we've got to have other gods out there. We've got to have other gods out there that people will worship. Well, what do people do? People are wearing not a cross. They're not wearing a cross, Jesus crucified. They're not wearing a miraculous medal. They're not wearing the scapular. They're promoting sports. They're promoting gear, with the labels all over, driving, cars with names all over it. But where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? We as Catholics have to make sure that Sunday is a day of rest. It's the Lord's Day. We've got to get rid of all the sports in our life, all the gods in our life. And we got to make Sunday holy again. And again, how do we do this? When we spend time with our Eucharistic Lord in front of the Blessed Sacrament, he teaches us how to make Sunday holy. How's he going to teach you? What is he going to teach you? Are you there listening to him? He's the Word. He's speaking constantly. Are you there being filled with the Holy Spirit? Or is it other spirits? Volume 21, 5, 8, 19, 27. What's the difference between the soul who lives in my divine will and the soul who only does my divine will? The first one who lives in the divine will possesses the divine will and has the divine will at her disposal. The second is submitted and receives it according to her dispositions between possessing it and receiving it. And there he says there is as much distance between heaven and earth as there's much distance between one who possesses immense riches and one who receives day by day that which is absolutely necessary. Immense riches. You have it all. You have everything. Jesus says that's the divine will. Therefore, the soul who does my divine will and does not live in my divine will, that's a saint. The saints did the will of God, but never lived in the will of God. They now live in the will of God in heaven, but it wasn't given to them to live in the divine will on earth because they didn't have Louisa. The one who does my divine will and does not live in the divine will is forced to feel weaknesses, passions, and all the rags, all the miseries that are the provision of the human will. See, God wants to free us of that. Adam was master of the strength, master of the light, master of sanctity, master of happiness, of this eternal fiat of God. He was the Lord of the earth. But when he withdrew from the divine will, Adam lost the possession and the dominion and reduced himself to receiving only the effects of my divine will according to his disposition, rather than possessing them as his own. And one who finds himself in the condition of receiving is always poor. He is never rich, because a rich person possesses. A rich person does not receive. He is in the condition of being able to give part of his goods to others. See, that's everything that was given to Louisa now is given to us if we wish. Volumes 22, 6, 1, 1927. While in the life, Our Lady, Mary, Sovereign and Queen, made no visible miracle, either healings or raising of the dead, the great celestial mother made and does not make miracles at each moment. Listen to this. She does make miracles at each moment. So Our Lady is miraculous. She's making miracles continuously. I read that wrong. Every hour and every day she makes miracles as the souls dispose themselves and repent, giving Mary the disposition for repentance. Mary bilocates her Jesus, bilocates the fruit of her womb, and gives Jesus as whole to each soul as confirmation of her great miracle that God wanted this celestial creature to make. She's Theotokos, Mother of God. The miracle that God himself wants to be made without mixing of human will. He doesn't want to water down this divinity that our God is. That's why when he came to earth, he didn't do his human will. He only did the divine will. As Our Lady, the Immaculate Conception, didn't do her human will. These are perennial miracles, Jesus says, because they start from the divine font of God that is never exhausted. And it is enough only to want them in order to receive them. So Jesus says, when you want the divine will, he says, Jesus, I am conceived in your heart. And then every act that you do, every round that you make of creation redemption, it's another molecule that's added to this conception of Jesus. Jesus wants to become alive in you. He wants us to give birth to him, not the way Mary did, but from our heart. So he sees in our seeing, he speaks in our speaking, he listens in our listening. He is the Lord of our life, not just a personal relationship, but more than that. 5:22, 7:4, 1927. My daughter, the sacraments came out of my divine will like many little fountains that I, God, issued them from the divine will, keeping in the divine will the source from which each of these fountains continuously receives the goods, the fruits that each sacrament of them contains. But they act according to the dispositions of those who receive them. So, because of the lack of the dispositions on the part of humanity, the fountains of the sacraments do not produce great works they contain. Many times they pour waters, but the creatures are not washed. Other times they are consecrated, impressing a divine and indelible character. But in spite of this, they do not appear sanctified. I mean, Jesus says, watch what's going to happen when the divine will reigns. Watch the power that the Holy Eucharist is going to have in souls, when Jesus says, when the divine will reigns. Another fountain, this another sacrament, gives birth to life of your Jesus continuously. And they receive this life, but neither the effects nor of the life of your Jesus can be seen in these souls. I mean, how many times do we receive Holy Communion and go back to being who we were? Jesus wants to change us. He wants us to become like him, image and likeness. So the sacraments have sorrows. They do not see their fruits and the goods that these sacraments contain in all humanity. He wants to give this. He says the sacraments were the medicines to heal us from our fallen nature. Now Jesus says, since this hasn't happened, now he says, I'm going to bring sanctification to the earth. Read the three appeals. Read what Jesus says. 5:22, 8:4, 1927. My daughter, yet everything you used to feel before in your interior extended to the order of ordinary grace. So here he's saying, everything that we've been doing to this point has been an order of grace. You know, anything, going to church, receiving Holy Communion, receiving the sacraments, receiving the sacramentals, that's, we've entered into ordinary grace. Fervors, sensibilities are ordinary grace. And I, God, give to all according to their dispositions that are subject to interruptions, now rising and now dying. He says, therefore, constitute neither this continuous life nor the solidity of sanctity. We have that continuous life of Jesus. He says it hasn't happened. But on the other hand, now this is what he's telling us about the divine will. He says, the divine will, on the other hand, I have invested you, Louisa, and he says the souls who want this gift with extraordinary graces. That is firmness in good and in incessant act, virtues that are exclusively divine. Why? It's the life of Jesus. It's the life of Mary. That's the divine will. Nobody is living it fully yet. Every act that you do is another molecule, he says, that's added to the conception of Jesus in your heart. Louisa was in bed 70 years, Archbishop P. Carey said, praying, studying, reading, entering into this gift. He says, this exclusively divine life that she received, God says, now he says, I'm offering it to those who want it. So he says, my daughter, my word is life. When Jesus speaks, it's divine life. When I speak, I must see whether this divine life can have life in souls. If not so, I do not expose a divine life of mine if there is no one who receives it. So he's saying, I'm offering it to you, to humanity, but I don't see anybody wanting it. He says, it is enough for me, God, to see even one single creature disposed. He's seen this with Louisa. To realize this divine life from Jesus within his word. That's why I love reading the book of heaven. I love reading the calendar. Divine life comes as you read. Divine life is being breathed into you. And this is why many times I do not speak, because I do not see anyone disposed to live the life of my word. More so since with you, Louisa, I have no need of words to make myself understood. It is enough to look at each other in order to understand each other. That's exposition of the Blessed Sacrament. And that's going to be what Jesus is going to show us with the exposition of the divine will, of creation, of redemption. We don't need words. All we have to do is look, and we fall in love with God to understand. And then he says, isn't it true, Louisa? You understand me and I understand you. This is what God wants with us. He wants this oneness with him, this unity with him. Volume 22, 8, 15, 19, 27. My daughter, these are the dispositions of my infinite wisdom. It is my usual way that when I ask of the creature a small sacrifice for her good, and I'm grateful, the soul denies it to me. Like, for example, Lent. What are you doing for Lent? Well, I'm 59 years old. I don't have to do anything anymore. What are you doing for Lent? Doesn't mean you starve yourself. I'm asking just a small sacrifice. This is what he says. And ungrateful, the soul denies it to me. And I no longer want to trust that soul. I dismiss my designs to raise that soul to great things. And I leave her like a creature put into oblivion that no one points to because of either great works or heroism, whether for good or for herself or for the people. He says, it is my usual way to ask for small sacrifices. Depriving oneself of a pleasure, depriving myself of a desire, depriving oneself of a small interest, of a vanity, or detaching oneself from something that seems to do one no harm. These small tests, Jesus says, this is what Lent's about. As little shelves, serve as little shelves on which to place the great capital, this abundant money of my grace, in order to dispose the souls to accept greater sacrifices, the little sacrifices he looks for. And when the soul is faithful to me in the small tests, then I abound the soul in grace. And I ask for greater sacrifices so as to be able to abound yet even more in giving. And I make of that soul a portent of divine sanctity. That's what God is waiting for in us. He's waiting for this. Therefore, my daughter, it takes greater attention to small sacrifices than to greater ones. because the small ones are the strength of the great sacrifices. If you are disposed to God to give great grace, and the soul to receive it. See, it's our life on earth is to be for God. Our life on earth. That's why I love Lent. Lent is a great time to really begin to live this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary that was given to Louisa. So we'll end there and we'll be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.